whoa, whoa, whoa. What am I supposed to write down here? No, no, no. Smith.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we're talking archaeology with Bob Alberti and Valerie Wolfel. They've just been to Cyprus, and we get to hear all about it.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am your host, Molly Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Nick Glover.
Hi.
And Tim Wick.
Hello there.
And we are also joined in the studio today by two wonderful guests, friend of the show, Bob Alberti.
Hey.
And his friend and amazing archaeologist, Valerie Wolfel.
Howdy.
Hooray. And they have just returned from a trip to Cyprus where Valerie was working. And Bob was assisting Valerie with the work, yes?
Okay.
Sure? Okay, well then correct me.
Yes, he was assisting. I think that's what he was doing there.
All right.
It wasn't quite clear.
People are often not quite clear on what Bob's doing. I think that's...
Yeah. Bob is often not quite clear on what Bob's doing.
An attempt was made at assisting.
Yes. So, first of all, Valerie, you're an archaeologist. You went to Cyprus. What were you there for?
We're digging at a site called Adalion. And first of all, Cyprus, for the people whose eyes are glazing over, is an island in the eastern Mediterranean.
Ah.
I often have people confused. It's not Greece. It's not Turkey. It's an island in the eastern Mediterranean.
Well, at one time we had, I believe, one listener in Cyprus. So
I thought so, too.
I hope
it's
if that listener...
Right?
It could be, sort of.
Yeah.
Part of it is occupied by Turkey still.
So sure.
It's awkward. It's called the Cyprus problem.
Well, our one listener then might be aware of the Cyprus problem.
That's right.
I hope they write in.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tell us about the Cyprus problem and a solution. But we were working there on an archaeological site called Adalion, which is an ancient city. It's been around since about 1300 BCE.
Wow.
And there's still a village on top of it that's a descendant of the ancient city.
Oh, wow.
So there is what we archaeologists call buttloads of stuff.
is that like, do you learn that term in college?
It is. It's an official term. You can weigh it out like half a buttload.
It's metric or...
Yeah.
It's standard.
Okay.
Standard.
A standard buttload.
We were staying in a town called Dali, which is phonetically Idalian. It's the same town.
Of course.
Yeah.
Ah.
So where were you staying? Were you staying in like a hotel situation, in homes and tents?
We were staying in a rather odd Airbnb in a nearby village called Perahorio with an interesting sort of awkward British host and some guy that lived there, and I don't know why.
Yeah, Takir.
Yes.
Yeah, Takir, who woke me up at midnight one night to have me help him with his college math. Very peculiar.
Did you help him?
I did.
Were you able to do that?
I was able to interpret his college math and figure out what he was missing and fix it and then go back to bed. That was just...
Nice.
So you were just helping everybody.
I was just...
You were there to literally assist everyone in Cyprus.
Pretty much. Like
but he couldn't
crush.
Fix the problem, so...
Yeah, not the Cyprus problem, no.
So were you looking for anything specific, or were you just there to see what was there?
Well, the site's been excavated, since the 1860s, but this current director, Dr. Pamela Gaber, has been there since the 80s.
Oh, wow.
So we have hundreds of thousands of artifacts and the data and maps and notebooks that we have to sort out, and everyone thinks you go out there and dig and just look for something, but eventually you try and figure out what it all means.
Yeah.
So we're trying to get a grip on all of this data and... figure out what's going on there.
And the dig finished up last year. There's like no more excavation happening at the moment.
Right. We're done turning the dirt over. So now we got to deal with everything we found.
We're done turning the dirt over for now because we got so much stuff that we need to like figure out the stuff before we dig more? Or is the dig really kind of done? We found as much as we think we're going
to
find.
Well, there's still lots and lots of the city to excavate. It's a huge city. The wall around it, the ancient wall, still stands to about 3 kilometers in one area, or extends about 3 kilometers and stands several meters high. And we've only excavated a tiny part of it. But the dig for us has, the moving the dirt has ended, and the analysis and the writing and the figuring it out is the next big step, which could take decades.
Yeah, it sounds like so much to organize and track. Like you're cataloging like literally everything you bring out and the location, I'm assuming, like probably more information than that.
Yeah, you know, and the location, the context is super important. Mm-hmm. I say to people, you know, if you have, let's say, a knife and it's on the table in Thanksgiving dinner, that has a different meaning than if it's in someone's back in a murder scene.
Of course.
So the context is vital, and which is why when people loot and you lose the context, you lose the story.
That's why we don't have Thanksgiving with Molly's family. That's right. That exact reason.
They never know the context.
That's right.
So part of the reason that that I was brought in is because all this data needs to be digitized and dragged into the 21st century.
Of course.
And so we're getting just the barest beginnings of that through what was called a Delmas grant, which is an organization that funds some of these efforts. And the ultimate goal is to take a small representative sample of the data and post it on a site called opencontext.org. And this is a site that uses Creative Commons licensing to allow anyone to use this data for their research. So you just hashtag the heck out of it. You know, this data contains stuff of interest to all these topics.
Mm-hmm.
And then anyone searching across those interests might find your data as part of the overall data set, and they can use it for their research.
So the data is public immediately, basically, once you put it in. Are there any things that you're holding back? Or, I mean, is there any purpose to holding information back while you're trying to figure this out? Or is it really just get anybody in there who can help?
On this dig, we're getting it out right away. It's typical in academia, of course, to pee on the corners and not release your data.
Yeah.
And, you know, put your theory out there without the data. And this director happens to believe that the data should be accessible to everyone.
So. I like that.
Yeah.
Were there any surprises that you guys have found so far?
There's lots of surprises in this place. And, you know, as soon as you think you've figured out what's going on, something changes. And we tried to excavate a domestic area where we could learn how people lived in their daily life and instead hit a gargantuan sanctuary with these different rooms where there were strange things going on. There were altars, and one of them was full of glass lamps, and another one was full of, you know, there's some sort of container for liquid, who knows what.
Whoa.
And they didn't worship gods that you made human figures of. They were aniconic images. So it was mainly a goddess, the Wanasa. You didn't say her name. You didn't make her image. She was the beginning and the end, the destroyer and the creator. And so we just had standing stones of her. They were natural volcanic stones from the mountains there.
How can you tell the difference between, if it's an aniconic image, how can you know when it is of this goddess?
We are fortunate enough to have Romans tromping through later and some Greeks, and they write about this, and we've excavated some other sanctuaries with really huge standing stones. And you do find the standing stone phenomena in Palestine and other areas as well. But a lot of people think Cyprus is Greek, and it was its own unique place, and it still is.
That's really neat. Have you found any human remains? Have you found, like, people, or is it mostly just the left behind, the abandoned city, as it were?
Well, most of the people, the early, quote-unquote, there's air quotes there, excavators, were, of course, looking for pretty things to sell to museums.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them, by the name of Chesnola, boasted that he emptied 10,000 tombs in the area. He kept almost no records and, of course, just threw the bones away.
What an asshole.
Then,
oh, my God.
Yeah, that's what we get. He's an asshole. He's a super asshole. And basically just sold the stuff.
Oh.
So a lot of the tombs have already been, you know, excavated, but the local high school was putting in an auditorium and they hit 7 more.
Oh.
So there's a lot of them around there. They're just everywhere. We visited one that was in somebody's backyard that you just go down the steps and there's a tomb in there.
Oh, my gosh. That is so weird and cool.
I can provide some photos for your listeners.
Please.
Surreal.
Yeah. So they obviously, it's an island. I'm guessing they didn't bury their dead. They entombed them. Were they like mausoleum style, or were they underground?
Sometimes they dug underground tombs in which they could be quite elaborate with columns and rooms and everything like that. And sometimes you had constructed tombs of stone blocks and so on.
Really
so
neat.
You know, it depends on what time period you're at, how you decide to deal with your dead people.
Yeah.
What's the time range of the areas you're excavating? Like, there's you know, city on top of city, or maybe even cities, layers and layers, it sounds like. What's the range of history that you're kind of looking at?
Well, in our area, you know, our site, like I say, is mostly starts sort of Bronze Age, end of the Bronze Age, 1300 BCE. There was an earlier city just down the river from it. But people started showing up in Cyprus at least 1,300 years ago. 13,000, sorry. Oh. 13,000 years ago, and they were there to hunt the pygmy hippos and elephants.
Oh, wow.
Because islands have that condition where big animals get small and small animals get big. So they had elephants and hippos about the size of Dalmatians. And they just evidently wandered around and were easy to hunt. So we've got sites where there's caves just deep with bones.
With their bones.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which are all gone now, right? Are there?
Yes, but I really want one.
I know. It's the most depressing thing ever.
It's a little elephant bone. And then people are like, what's that little bone? Like, it's from an elephant. And they're like, what?
Can they not clone one or something?
I mean, what do you want first, dinosaurs or pygmy hippos?
Pygmy hippos.
Yeah, okay.
100%. Not even a question.
Well, pygmy elephants is my answer.
Yeah, pygmy elephants?
You say that now, and 5 years from now, when hipsters are walking pygmy hippos uptown, we'll see if you've changed your tune.
So, okay, I'm trying to... the way you're looking at daily life, you're looking at trying to figure out, like, domesticity and just kind of the way that the people went about their lives... when I ask, are there surprises? Like, have you found anything about that where you were pretty, not about like where you thought things were, but about the way that you thought they lived their lives that has, you've had theories debunked or changed based on what you found just in the most recent, I know the dig just ended about a year ago. Or even when you're putting the data together, as you're collecting the data, are you finding patterns or anything that are surprising?
Yeah, and it's stuff that archaeologists geek out on, like finding out where, ooh, the orientation of the city ended like right here at this point, and why was it a Hippodamian plan here, and it changed here, and ooh, this was Bronze Age, and then in the Hellenistic they did this, and we get all excited and geek out. It's like, ooh, you know, or this is an influence from the Near East, and this is an influence from Greece, and they've made it their own, and, you know, so yeah, we have those little geek out things like that.
You said a plan that starts with an H, and I can't remember what it was.
Hippodamium.
What
sort
is that?
Sort of like a grid plan.
Yeah.
So these people, you know, they're building in one direction, and all of a sudden they're building in another, laying it out in a different grid, and we found exactly the corner where they changed.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, but why?
Thousands of years from now, that's going to be someone digging up St. Paul.
Absolutely.
They're going to be like, why? This looks like
they'll be asking
Fifth Avenue crossing Fifth Avenue. Like, what could possibly have led to such a...
That doesn't make any sense. Who thought of that?
That's super cool.
It must be religious.
Wonderful.
So what made you want to be an archaeologist?
I think maybe I like dead people because they're easier to get along with.
Truth.
But yeah, I don't know. I think I watched too much Channel 2 maybe and just got fascinated with it.
Yeah. Did you plan that from undergrad on, or did you change anywhere along your educational route?
Well, I've got a degree in studio art as well, and then it dawned on me that you can't actually make a living at that.
What?
And so you thought
archaeology.
That's hilarious.
I mean, there's so many billionaire archaeologists out there.
Of course. I hear about them all the time.
You know, the 1%, how many are archaeologists?
Yeah,
the dude who got rid of the bones and sold the tomb stuff.
He probably
did okay.
He's probably got some spoiled rich trust fund baby grand child, right?
How rich is the family that owns Hobby Lobby? They like to smuggle artifacts.
They do. That's their favorite thing. So pretty.
Yeah.
They're basically, I mean, like, if there was a modern day Indiana Jones movie, they would play the part of the Nazis. Like,
yeah. they'd be the Nazi collaborator dude from Last Crusade.
So a kind of an Indiana Jones moment that I appreciated on this trip.
Dun, 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 dun. Sorry, we needed a sound effect.
That's right. Valerie and then Andrew, who was also there with us, were working, researching the notes of a fellow named...
R. Hamilton Lang and Anafosh Richter.
Anafosh Richter is what I was thinking, but also Lang. And based on that, they thought, oh, in this area, there may have been a temple. And so they dragged us out there in the middle of a blazing hot afternoon to look and see if there might have been a temple there. And we're walking along, and Valerie just shouts and bends down and picks up a 3,000-year-old statue off the ground in this farmer's field and you can tell the rest of it. But I've never seen her. I've known her for over 30 years. I've never seen her happier.
Well, you know, when you can prove that theory, yes, this is where Anafash Richter did his looting, and he missed this piece.
And it was just hanging on the field, just above ground?
Yeah. On the ground.
What? And what is, was the farmer, like, he didn't till over it or anything? Like, that's...
It was face down, and if you didn't know,
yeah,
that was the flat back of the statues, because they just were kind of worked on one side to face the deity, and
wow,
the stone was behind him, so there she was.
That is amazing.
It'd just be like a stone.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Yep.
So how did you two meet?
We were heckling a Bible thumper at the U.
Oh, I love this.
Well, I guess we know why Bob said you should come on this.
It was summer of 1987, and the evangelists used to go on the mall, and they used to walk around and point at all the college students and say, "You are whores, and you are whoremongers." And so I started heckling, and Valerie was also heckling, and pretty soon I think it was just the two of us heckling the new guy.
Because you just didn't get bored?
It was Brother Jed, and he had written a book, and I have a signed copy of it. He said I was Queen of Slut.
Oh, nice. Wow.
I'm very proud of that book.
That's your amazing. Majesty. I feel like I should be, like, tithing or something to the Queen of Slut.
Did he say that? Did he, like, when he signed it?
It's signed Queen of Slut.
Oh, nice.
To the Queen of Slut.
Yeah. To the Queen of Slut.
He sounds like a really nice guy.
Not the Queen of Sluts. The Queen of Slut.
Like... Yeah,
the embodiment singular. Of all yep. that is slut, yeah. or maybe some
the
obscure
platonic
city.
Ideal of slut, really,
yeah.
like
it's a sense of slutness.
Yeah,
yeah,
just
yeah.
really just distilled.
Maybe he just liked my short skirt.
Maybe. I mean, it's hard to say.
I mean, he liked it, but he really hated that he liked it, so he was probably very conflicted.
Yeah, he felt right. really bad about it.
He was lusting in his heart.
Oh, that's a sin.
Yeah, that is a sin.
Can't do that.
Can't do that.
So, all right. Did you have a question? You breathed in, and I just didn't want to cut you off. I'm sorry. I
wanted to
jump on the ball.
And maybe there isn't an easy answer to this question. I'm just wondering, like, architecturally, what were the influences? What are the influences in that dig? I realize Cyprus is its own civilization, but where were they getting their influences from when that city was being developed?
A lot of it is more in this era, sort of more Middle East
okay.
than Greek, and the Greek sort of influence comes in later. And a lot of what we've got, a lot of the site was torn up. People took the stones and they're incorporated into their houses in the village.
Wow.
And so on. Or they had a mud brick superstructure and that just melts over time and becomes mm-hmm. a thing that's really hard to dig through.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you find the actual mud bricks, and the village is still built the same way around there, where it's stone sockles and mud brick.
And there were, there were Phoenicians?
Yeah,
there
the
were
Phoenicians
Egyptians.
Came
okay.
Egyptians came through,
yeah.
the Romans, the Greeks,
Assyrians.
Wow.
Because it was the center of trade there, because copper, the word Kypros, Cyprus, means copper.
Really?
Because so much copper came from that island, and you need copper to make bronze. You can't have a bronze
right.
yeah.
without
yeah.
that.
Yeah. I was about to ask, like, what other resources are rich in the area?
I was assuming they were coming for the pygmy hippos and elephants.
Well, sure. I mean,
you come
for
a
while.
You come for the pygmy hippos and elephants, but
you stay for the copper.
And that was their, you know, their tourist mm-hmm. kind of phrase from the Assyrian
age. You found
time.
That chiseled on a wall somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah. What other resources do you know are rich in the area? Like, what is Cyprus known for in terms of, if I was playing a builder video game and I owned Cyprus and I can export, what are the amenities I'm going to be able to sell?
Well, right now, tourism is a big thing.
Sure.
You can go hang out if you avoid the minefields, because those are kind of awkward.
Oh,
you know?
Sure. Oof. Yep. That's
that's part
like
of the Cyprus problem,
Cyprus
is it?
That's part
yeah.
of the Cyprus problem going on there.
They have olives.
They have olives.
Cherries.
They still do mining. Yeah.
Okay.
There's a big,
so there's still some
there.
Copper left.
Yeah,
and just strip it all
stuff
away.
They mine. So.
Yep.
Do they, does the village... So, I mean, it's probably been, you said that the this particular dig started in the 80s. So this has been, they've been having, you know, a fair amount of archaeologists and assorted assistants like Bob for about 30 some, you know, 40 years almost. How does has the village changed because of it?
Yeah, actually, the dig before this director took over in the 80s, she came there as a student in the 70s. So she was there in the Turkish invasion in 74.
Oh, wow.
And so a lot of the people we know in the village, and everybody knows somebody worked for us at some point. They were the cook, or they cleaned pottery, or they did something. So it's really useful to know everyone in the village and how the village works. So you run into things like there was an illegal pipe put through the site by the town, and it broke, and it was flooding one of the trenches.
Oh, no.
And I came out there. It's a Sunday. Everything's closed. Well, you got to know that Odysseus, that runs the hardware store, will come on out there. If you go and call him up and say, will you help me? He'll say, no, I'll help you. And he'll come out. And all the young ladies on the site are standing around in bikinis. And then Odysseus will swing into action and call his brother who works for the town. And eventually you get the pipe fixed. And you just got to know how the village works.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
That is amazing. What's something about being an archaeologist that you think is a misconception that people have, the public has?
We don't dig dinosaurs.
Those are paleontologists.
That's right.
Is there any, have you ever seen a movie or a television depiction where you feel like they got it right? Or you feel like no?
Not many.
No?
No, you run into bits of Indiana Jones here and there, and then you run into a bits of, you know, the geek and the pith helmet. It's kind of a combination of the two. Mm-hmm. It all depends on where you're working and if the government's being overthrown at the time you're there.
I'm sorry to laugh.
How do you feel about Stargate? Never mind. I'm sorry. That's not even fair to ask. I'm sorry.
One of the elements of Cyprus that was also sort of compelling was the fact that with the partition in 74, the Turks were driven north across the border and the Greeks were driven south across the border.
Wow.
And abandoned buildings are still everywhere because you can't sell them. The title to a given building is not in a known state. If the owner is forced to live on the other side of a border from his house, how do you sell that house?
Yeah.
And so
the government hasn't just seized the property or anything like that?
There are a lot of abandoned houses. We even saw an abandoned village with the town hall shot full of bullet holes from where the Turks were driven out of the village and just driven across the border, and that was it.
Wow.
Yeah, people were just collected and put into trucks and driven to the border and pushed to the other side with whatever's in your hand.
Wow.
And then somebody else was, you know, from the other side was taken and thrown into your home or whatever. So it's a refugee problem. But the border has opened up more. I forget if it was like 8 years ago or so.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be you could just cross for the day. A few people could cross and you kind of talk your way across and walk through the UN buffer zone. And it's opened up and people can travel back and forth. And the government was worried that people would be angry at each other, that, you know, since 74, someone has lived in your home,
mm-hmm.
and you go back to look at it, and, you know, what happened to your family that was killed and so on. And what they found is a lot of people, when they were refugees and moved into somebody else's home, they collected the children's stuff, the pictures off the wall, that kind of thing, and they saved them.
Oh,
and they just kind of, so the people sort of started taking it back.
Amazing.
You know, when they were able to cross the border for the first time, they just went.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, go ahead and shoot me. I'm going to go find out what happened to my home and where my children are buried and, you know, my husband died and stuff.
Wow.
So where is this village, where is this site located in terms of politically on Cyprus? What side is it on? Or is it not on any side?
It's on the Greek side, but right by the buffer zone.
Okay.
Oh.
So.
Yep. Yeah.
Not awkward. Not,
wow, that sounds like a big problem.
Yeah.
So is Cyprus, so then in terms of, I guess, just in terms of like government stuff, you know, is it Greece that's controlling the majority of the people? Do they have their own government structure that, you know, I mean, like the people, the day-to-day people who are living in Cypriots. Ooh, that's a good one. I would never have guessed that. Cypriots. Do the Cypriots have... Do they self-govern? Is there some sort of government being imposed upon them? Aside from, obviously, there is a, you know, occupation by Turkey and in certain zones and the UN, obviously, in a buffer zone. But, like, in terms of do they have their own, I mean, do they vote? Do they have any kind of
thing
like that?
They are their own country and they're a member of the EU, at least the Greek-speaking side.
Mm-hmm.
And they are, as one old Cypriot told me, he said, we used to be Cypriots and now we're Greeks and Turks.
Ah.
And so there is, you know, they claim all of Cyprus for the EU and the Greek-speaking side, and then the Turkish Republic of Northern Cyprus is only recognized as a country by Turkey.
Okay.
Although you can vacation there, and it's quite nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Because I've heard that it's just beautiful, like, coastline and beaches. Like, whenever I hear Cyprus, it's like, I feel like everything I've been told about Cyprus is... You know, the gorgeous coastline and like white sand beaches and all, and that's it. Like, I don't think I've heard anything about like what it's like to live inland, you know, and it's really interesting.
The center of the area, the Troodos, is gorgeous, low mountain country. It was high enough that we got snowed on. We had a snowball fight in June.
Who won?
The snow.
Yeah.
those weren't snow tires.
No, those weren't snow tires. It's lovely. It's got waterfalls. It's got cherries. It's got broad vistas. Very picturesque mountain villages sprawled across, mm-hmm. you know, these valleys between the hills. It's, you know, if I was going to go tourism, I'd skip the coasts and go there. They got great wine.
Yeah, that sounds beautiful.
Too. Yeah, it's really beautiful.
And some of the Crusader castles are just amazing.
Oh, oh wow.
They're like movie sets.
St. Hilarion is insane. It's a castle built all across the top of a mountain in northern Cyprus on the Turkish side. And we climbed all over this thing and we watched foolish young people taking selfies while standing over precipitous drops. but it was amazing to climb that and find like medieval cornice work and windows at the top of it, because it was where King Richard stayed during the Crusades.
What? That's so cool.
Yeah, he was married on Cyprus.
That is so cool. So what's next for you, Valerie?
Well, we go on. We try to find funding for this and that. And then every now and then I get an email or a phone call. And my favorite one was the guy just said, "Can you go to Italy?" And I said, "Yeah, sure." So I went to Italy.
Can you be more specific?
Yeah, I didn't care.
She's like, "Send me a ticket and I'll be there with my shovel."
That's right. Yeah, they sent me a ticket and they gave me a smart car off I went. So
wow.
That's as an archaeologist, are you kind of a freelance archaeologist? Are you a professor somewhere? How do you apply your trade?
Well, I'm an archaeological illustrator is my specialty.
Ooh.
And also a GIS specialist. So it gives me a niche that I can work any place in any period, which is nice because otherwise people get really focused and like they just study Merovingian footwear or something like that and never, branch out.
Yeah.
So that's given me the chance to work from England to Egypt, from, Morocco to Ukraine and just kind of cover all sorts of ground.
But you're not attached to a university or anything. You're just kind of yourself and able to bring your expertise to whatever digs or whatever sites there are available.
Whoever sends me the airfare and the money.
That's, you're a mercenary archaeologist. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much, both of you, for talking with us.
She's like an Indiana Jones.
I know.
Who can draw.
She's an Indiana Jones who doesn't have to teach girls who are trying to hit on him all the time.
I know, yeah.
It's time for five questions.
Five questions.
And Bob has already answered our five questions because he's been on the show several times.
Too many times.
Too many, just enough.
Too many times is more than
just enough times.
More than zero.
Just
really.
One, yeah. But Valerie has not answered our five questions, so I think we
I'm
should.
I'm a question virgin.
Oh, nice. This is very exciting. So I guess that would mean Nick, you want to be gentle and pop this cherry.
I'm getting uncomfortable with it.
Yeah, I was uncomfortable as soon as I started, and I didn't know what else to do.
So our first question is, what's a conspiracy theory that you find most interesting or compelling? And you don't have to believe in it. You don't have to support it. It could be, I can't believe these people believe this crazy thing, but...
Well, I've seen there's one that there's actually multiple clones of Putin.
Oh,
and
what?
I feel that maybe Putin is everywhere. He's in the White House.
Well, yeah.
He's on my computer. I turn the corner and there might be a Putin or something like that. It's just infested with Putins. And
he's just
clones.
A KGB experiment.
That would explain the Microsoft breach that we just heard about
That's
today.
Right. That's right. He got a job at Microsoft.
Yeah.
One of the Putin clones.
It's Russian Gajovich.
That's right. A really good conspiracy theory.
I like that one.
There's a lot of strange evidence for it.
All right. Question two. What is your perfect 2-week vacation? Money is no object, but physics is still a limiting factor.
I think my best vacation, of course, there'd have to be archaeological sites.
Well, of course.
And it's let's put on a Mediterranean island.
Mm.
And while I'm there, I'm going to go around and explore these sites. I don't need a fancy place to stay, but, I want to be kind of by the beach. And when I'm walking on the beach, I want some guy to ride up on a horse. Because I'm into horses. I'm into rescuing animals.
Yeah, we can pay that guy.
And he says, "Hi, my name's Alexander. I've rescued 14 horses. Can you help me exercise them running them down the beach?" And I say, "Why, of course I can do that." And I was going to stay there for a week, but my vacation lasts for a month. And my thing is that this is real. This happened to me. I did this. I was waiting to go on a dig in Turkey. The permit got put off. I was on roads, and I got a job exercising horses.
Oh, my gosh.
And this guy had rescued horses like there was this white Andalusian stallion, and there had been one of these medieval times jousting places.
Yeah.
That closed down, and they just locked the horses in the stalls to die.
Oh.
So... my dream vacation is just get off your ass and go do it and stop putting obstacles in your way, and you'll end up on roads riding horses down the beach for a living.
Rescue horses.
That's
amazing.
Right. Rescue
amazing.
Horses. Rescue Andalusian stallions they galloping bareback down the beach.
They galloped in slow motion. That's
of course they did.
I bet they did.
They're streaming with music
that's
playing.
Right.
I mean, that's just how it goes.
Every time it's
amazing.
Move,
my only concern
playing.
Is we did say physics is a limiting factor, and this does involve time travel, so I'm not sure...
How does it involve time travel?
She'd have to go back in time
she
to
could,
do
oh,
it.
No, no. There's always events. Rescue horses.
Oh, all right. All
also,
right,
we can always just pay someone to have 14 horses there for her.
That's true. And money is no object.
And
yes.
Yeah, yeah.
All right,
right.
Fair.
We were learning you can pay people to do anything.
That's true, because we say money is no object.
True.
Question number three. What is a movie or book that changed your life and why?
I actually have one that I must have been about 8 years old. Remember the Time Life series? It would be like... you know, everything. This one was History of the Ancient World, and they would be like Cooking with Chicken or Dictators of South America.
Yeah, yeah, I had a ton of those.
I had those too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, this one was Ancient Rome.
Oh.
And there was a section on Pompeii, and I was probably like 8 years old, and I was looking at, you know, the plaster figures. Mm-hmm. So people died, and their bodies decomposed, and it made kind of a cavity they can pour the plaster in, and they've got the people frozen in space.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of disturbing. But what got me was a dog.
I've seen,
and
yes.
He's twisted around one leg in the air, and he's just in anguish.
Yes.
And I remember looking at that dog, and it made a connection to the past with me. And I think that's one of the things that got me curious about archaeology. And 25 years later, I was working at Pompeii.
Oh.
And I went to the museum at Bosco Reale, and there he was.
Oh. Wow.
And I said, you're why I'm here.
Oh, that's
so
such a great thing.
So I saw
thing.
His picture in the Time Life book.
That's amazing. I've seen picture of that dog. I know I had those books as a kid, and I was also one of those weirdo kids who would just read, you know, gigantic books about history on my own for hours. Yeah.
Right, let's read the encyclopedia.
Yeah, fun. Right? Yes, yes. I wonder what word comes after this.
Thank you, Time Life.
Awesome.
Right. Question four is, what's the geekiest thing you've ever done or said?
Probably become an archaeologist.
Yeah, it's pretty geeky.
Yeah.
I support that.
It's like what? Yeah. Like, well, do you have a master's then or a doctorate? Or
I just, have.
I'm trying to figure out how much geek time have you put into this?
Well, there's
her entire
the
damn life.
Yes.
You know, I've been working on a master's in Asian studies and then sideways into geographic information science for archaeology.
And then all the time on sites and everything
and on
else.
Sites, and then, of course, you can't always pay the bills in between. So you get some other job that you don't mention that you could. Oh, wait, are they listening? That I leave the country all the time? Don't tell them.
That's very geeky. I think that's right. That's definitely good. All right, so question five is, what is your favorite hangover cure?
Get really good wine, drink it slowly, and you won't get a hangover.
Ooh, I like that. I like that. I'm bad at both of those things.
Yeah, that's true.
Valerie and Bob, thank you so much for being on the podcast. This was really great. I'm so glad you came and shared this with us. It sounds amazing. And Bob, you're going to have pictures for us?
I can provide some pictures and maybe even a little slideshow of
stuff
from the trip.
That sounds wonderful.
That'd be great.
Excellent. Is there anywhere that anyone... if anyone just happened to be listening has a job for you, is you have a website or where anyone can contact you that's public facing?
Yeah, it's archaeoillustrator.com.
Archaeoillustrator.com. Excellent. We're good.
We should remind them about the new five questions.
Oh,
the new
five questions. So we are out of five questions. We have one more left and we're going to get to it eventually. But from now on, when you send in answers to five questions, what you're actually sending in is questions. We need you to send to us your five questions. Five questions about anything you want, and Nick, Tim, and I will answer them. And if we have a guest, the guest will also answer them, assuming the guest wants to answer them.
Right.
Yeah. But the three of us will definitely answer anything.
Or the guest hasn't answered, like, one of our other five questions.
Right.
This is getting very confusing.
It's not confusing at all.
Just put an asterisk on it, and we can just deal with all the details.
Just send in your questions to fivequestions@geeksthatgod.com. And if you are a Patreon supporter, first of all, thank you. Second of all, all, put Patreon supporter in your subject line so that I know you get to go to the top of the queue, or at least the bottom of the Patreon queue, which is above the regular queue. You know what? You're right. It is confusing.
Asterisks.
If you do support us on Patreon, thank you. If you don't yet, go to patreon.com and support us. We'd very much appreciate that. We're Geeks Without God there. We're Geeks Without God on Facebook and Twitter. Please follow us and like us and share us and tell us all your deepest secrets and fantasies and dreams.
And social security numbers.
Don't do that. Oh, yeah, don't do that. Sorry. I was Putin for a minute there. I was just channeling.
Oh, my God.
We're all Putin.
We're all Putin.
Yeah.
Oh.
Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.
It belongs in a museum.
Yeah, that's where it's going.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God.
Social media!
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Join us next week on Putin's Without God.
Yeah.